Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Pastor Todd Pratt, and it is absolutely a delight to have you here today that are here with us. I've been wearing this. I just took it off now. But so good to have you here with us today. And if you're watching online, then you can go to the website. If you've never contacted us before, we'd love to hear from you. If you have a prayer request or if you have a testimony, we'd love to hear from you. You just simply go to the contact button, or if you're on a smartphone, go to the menu and go to the contact button. And then you can fill out that form, and a brand new life awaits. So let's get started. Oh, hallelujah. Now, we started Soul Care on Tuesday, and it was fantastic. And somebody that was here, say amen. It was incredible. And we had lots of people, but we were still within the confines of restrictions and numbers, but we have room for more. So if you'd like to come, it's Tuesday evening, 7 o'clock, and fantastic. We'll move right into our declaration. This is what we believe. Love that song. We believe. Let's say it together. I have a biblical worldview. My life is not led by opinion, but by every word that proceeds from God. I don't base my identity on what I do, but on who I am in Christ. I'm a deeply loved child of God, and nothing will change that. Every good thing I have is not based on what I deserve, but what my generous God delights to give. Decisions of life or death lay before me every day, and I choose life. God has great plans for me, and they come to pass as I continually allow Him to direct my path. And I share these truths with words and deeds, giving others the exact same opportunity to life as you were given, as I was given. And if you were given the opportunity to life and you've been changed by Jesus, then what a privilege, what an opportunity to be able to give it away. Come on, somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. We are continuing in our city gates. I'm loving this series. And like always, I'm realizing that there's 10 gates. So by the end of the series, we could spend 45 minutes just in review. So we're not going to do that because you can archive on YouTube. Merge Church AB is our YouTube channel. And all of them are going to be archived there. So watch them. And that'll give you up to speed on where we are. But what I will say is looking at the rebuilding of the city gates of Jerusalem way, way, way back some 2,500 years ago, as recorded in Nehemiah, that's in the Old Testament. And from that, and here's the key, we get a glimpse into the things that God is calling us as a church. From the city gates, we actually get a glimpse into what God is calling us as a church. And this is the third one. So the first one was the sheep gate. And from the sheep gate, we see our role as a church as a nurturing, loving house where people can feel that they belong. And somebody say amen. Number two is the fish gate, where God has called us to be soul winning, to give God away. We don't want to hoard Jesus. We want to give him away, equipped to influence and to win people for Jesus. And then there's my review. Today, we're jumping into the third gate, which was around the wall of Jerusalem. The third gate is called the old gate, actually called the old gate. And we declare that it's a house of this house. We want to be a house that values wisdom and heritage. That is our takeaway today. Little is known about this gate. It is probably the one that we know least about. Hence, lots of conjecture. But there are a few things that are known. In the NIV, it calls it the Gehenna gate. And literally in English, literally Gehenna, but when it's translated into English, it is translated old. The old gate may be one of the original gates made around the city. So you could say it is an old, old gate. But that's not why it's called that. Now, this is cool. maybe the only other thing that we know for certain, and that is where today we're going to draw our application. The whole message, it holds on this one sentence. And that is, the old gate is where the elders of the city would meet to discuss the matters of community importance, almost like a town council of sorts, and issue judgments on disputes. Now, the book of Joshua, when the cities of refuge were established, and that's exactly right. You say, what is a city of refuge? It's people that are running from the law. And it was the old gate that those running for their lives would report before they would enter the city, and they would plead their case before they entered the city, and they would plead their case before elders. Ha, interesting. So now that launches us into today. This speaks to us of the importance of wisdom and understanding, a place where we must learn the old ways of truth. And I struggle with using the term old because truth is ageless. Come on. Truth is ageless. But generations ago, the Aboriginal people, the Native people, and the Asian cultures would esteem the old, and I'm talking about the physically old. They saw them as the pearl of great price, not just for their know-how necessarily, but almost as a sense of good karma, that if we treat them well, it will go well for us. And we certainly don't believe in karma, but I believe that that is a truth nonetheless. That if we treat our old and if we treat wisdom and truth well, things go well for us. In reference to the old gate of Nehemiah, Dr. Mounty Brown writes, and I quote from him, he says, younger converts will soon realize, oh, will they realize, that they must seek out the wisdom and guidance of church elders. Those people who have a track record, listen to me, and who have learned through commitment what it takes to remain faithful to God. Come on. They learned that they must gravitate to the old ways of truth that never change. While there are fads, oh, are there fads? This is a fad. Please let this fad go for a few more months because I just bought the coat. Come on. And I gotta look cool, right? Because I gotta look cool. My Canadian talks. But the old ways of truth that never change. There are fads. There's cultures and times they change. But the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, never changes. It's never to be compromised. It's a life of holiness and sanctification. That will not change. Someone else say amen. Amen and amen. Now, we're going to have some fun, and I hope I can insult somebody or offend somebody. That's my mandate today. Praise the name of Jesus. I'm kidding. But we might have to do this manually, if that would be all right. Okay, just go to the next one, if you can. There we are. Now, it's young thinking versus wisdom, and that's really our takeaway today. You notice that I didn't say old versus new? Did you notice that? I cleverly and very specifically said young thinking versus wisdom. Because how many people know you can be young and smart? And how many people know you can be old and dumb? And Tammy's dying inside because she's saying, oh dear, no, come on. Old and new, not old and new, but young thinking versus wisdom. Now, in our youth, we celebrate our zeal and our emerging talent. Oh my goodness, do we love our gifts and our talents. Whatever it would be, I'm a cool guitar player. Or I'm a singer, or I got this, or I got that. And we love our talent, and we're heralding, and we're crying from the city gate saying, look at me, look at my talent. But oh my, don't you know that when we get maybe older and a little wiser, we've maybe lost some of our energy, And I have definitely lost some of my energy that I did when I was 25 or 30. Used to do 50 and 60 push-ups a day. I'm not doing that now. But I can do 3 push-ups like nobody can. Hallelujah. Now, but we understand that all those things are fine, but they must be tempered by wisdom. My dad used to say, and I quote my dad a lot because it's just, he had all these one-liners. And he would always say, "Oh, I wish I could put this head on young shoulders." Now, is that an expression or is that just a dadism or an Ontarioism? He'd say, "Oh, son, if I could just put this head on young shoulders." And for the longest time, I didn't have a clue what he was talking about. I'm like, that's kind of weird. That's kind of gross. But you know what? Now I realize he's like, "Oh, it's the smarts that I've learned over the years. But you know what? Father time is making me wear out." We want the zeal and we want the energy, but all we need the smarts more. Oh, if we knew then what we know now. Somebody say amen. If we knew then what we know now. And isn't that the sentiment? Isn't that the plight? Isn't that the reality? Now, let me just have some comparisons here. Young thinking, put your seatbelts on, believes that they know better. Wisdom knows they used to think the exact same way. That's not what you thought I was going to say, is it? But we've been there. We've done that. I'm going to be speaking this in the next couple of months, but oh my goodness, the reality in my life, I'm going, "Oh, I would have done the exact same thing." And I pray and repent for me, and vicariously I pray and repent for them. Now, I know the pitfalls of that we know better syndrome. Now, I know there'd be no one in this room necessarily that would struggle that way. But oh, the struggle of we know better. Step aside, old timer. There's a new show in town, so step aside, old timer. Here's the problem. Been there and done that. I don't do that anymore. Well, because I'm the old timer. Leave me alone. Stop talking. Years ago, back in Belleville, we pastored there for 20 years, and I was in the midst of a church planning project. It wasn't a split. It was an actual legitimate church planning project, and it was from the mother church to a daughter work, and we know that well, don't we? And we were Calvary Temple, and we were planting Desert Stream. And you know, I've talked about Desert Stream often because that's where I cut my teeth, was at Desert Stream. Now, it was a legitimate work to establish a new church on the other side of town, or the other side of the city. So on the west side of the city was Calvary Temple, and to let the gospel go and spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, we believed it was our mandate to have a work on the east side of town. Yeah, there was other churches, but we believed we wanted to have a charismatic type church believing in the gifts on the east side of town. That sounds like a country song, doesn't it? On the other side of town. Okay, I'll move on. Now, but all of us would agree now, years later, with a lot more wisdom, that there was a whole lot of pride mixed in our courage of stepping out. A whole lot of pride. The air of superiority was palatable. You could taste it because we were the new cool church in town. We're not old and stuffy like them. We're new and we're cool. That is why, I don't know if you remember this, but over the last year, I've been very, very quick to say this. Half joking, but whole in earnest, when I've commented that Emerge Church is now 1 year old, and we are, we're about a year, year and a half old, but we're a year old with 77 years of experience, because actually this church was planted way back in the 40s. Because I want, and listen to me today, church, I want the best of both worlds. I want zeal. I want enthusiasm. I want energy. I want jumping. I want clapping. I want shouting. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on. I can't be the only loud person in this room. There's got to be someone else that can be loud with me. Thank you. Thank you. I'll be here all week. Thank you very much. But I want, and we need, heritage and wisdom just as much. Now, going on, young thinking, I'm not saying young people necessarily, I'm saying young thinking, immature thinking is impetuous, it's reckless, and it reacts. But wisdom takes the long view, weighs out the options, and responds. And isn't that what they say? I've been given that counsel for years and years and years, and now that I'm a little more wise, thank you, a little wiser, I give that counsel just as much. You know what? Don't react, respond. Let a situation sort of percolate before you lose it or become unhinged or break something or smash a door. Yeah, come on. Now, keep going. Young thinking versus, you might have to move it ahead. There we are. Young thinking versus wisdom. Oh, this is huge. This is huge. This is a takeaway. This is tweetable. Young thinking asks why. How come? You know, in our prayers as a young person, 80% of our prayers are why. They're laments. They're complaining to God. Why did you do that, God? How come? Why don't I get? How come? Why do they get something and I don't? Why? And it's the whiny why. But wisdom asks how? Write that one down. Put it in your smartphone. That, my friend, is a takeaway. When you're praying, ask how, God. How do I do it? I know what you're asking. How do I do it? Or I know what you're asking, God. Give me the strength to do it. Never ask, why do I have to do it, God? Or why did this happen? Or why did that happen? Now think about that. Think of the logic of that statement. And your own children. Take the garbage out. Why? Because I said so. And we hate it until we're a parent. And we realize that, oh my goodness, I'm sounding like my dad. I'm sounding like my mother. The reason God can't answer the why question often is because we don't have the capacity to understand the long view, the eternal ramifications of a situation. And that's where it becomes just a son, daughter. You just got to trust me. Ah, oh, come on. That was worth the price of admission right there. Son, you just got to trust me. And he's come alongside, he's cozied in on me often with those truths. Son, you just gotta trust me. I remember back years and years ago, I was asked to do a celebration of life. There wasn't much celebration going on. It was a funeral for a little infant. And it was awful. There is nothing in this world that is more painful and more agonizing than doing a funeral for a little infant. And this couple had, obviously, they hadn't come to church. They didn't do church. But I was asked to do the funeral, so I poured out my love to them. I poured out God's love to them. And I thought, well, we're maybe building some relationships and some dialogue. Maybe they'll start coming and I can comfort and I can help and I can be there with them along the path of life. And I've had the very difficult task of doing many, many funerals for children and for infants, adolescents, teenagers, nothing worse. Anyway, the funeral came and went, and I never saw them again. I found out months later, the only reason I was asked to do the funeral is because they said, well, let Pastor Todd do the funeral. He will explain why your child died. How's that for 5,000 pounds of onus on me? I don't know. We don't know. The only thing we do know is that the God of great comfort is there for us. And there is no comfort like our God. Now, think of it. Really, the reality is, it's having to go through that situation with no hope, or it's going through that situation with hope. That's the issue. And with God, somebody say, with God. With God, there is hope. He's the hope of the world. He's the hope of the world. Know today, whatever you're going through, don't ask why. Ask God, help me. Give me grace to journey through this situation. Oh, that's good counsel right there. That's a takeaway right there. Dr. Rob Reimer says, seldom will God answer a why question, but he is delighted to answer a how question. And that's where God lives. Now, just before we close, let's navigate through some of these great, just keep it moving forward, please. Move it forward, Manuel, if you have to. Wisdom. Somebody once said, the only thing we learn from history is we don't learn from history. Hello? Isn't that the truth? The only thing we learn from history is that we never, ever learn from history. What we're going through in Canada and this oppressive, oh, I'm going to get myself in trouble, oppressive government control is nothing different, nothing that didn't happen 60, 80, 100 years ago. But the only thing we learn about history is we don't learn from history. Wisdom, the quote is, wisdom is wasted on the old. Isn't that something? God help us. God help us to want wisdom, but not just in our latter years. That we have wisdom now so that we can walk in linear obedience to God. I remember years and years ago, Tammy, back when I started Bible college, and he was a strong A-type personality. And if he's listening, I love you. I love you, Alan. Al Roach used to say to me all the time, he'd say, son, he'd say, Todd, pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. And I would, but then I thought to myself afterwards, okay, why is he telling me that? Because maybe he saw a little of it in me. Anyway, I did take his wisdom and I did pray for wisdom. Now, wisdom is better than strength, Ecclesiastes 9:16. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding, Psalm 111:10. We'll move on with more. Move on with more. Yeah, move on with more. Okay, you have to stay manual. Just stay there and just click it ahead for me, would you please? Wisdom is supreme, therefore, get wisdom. I like that. That's kind of cool. Wisdom is most important, so get it. Though it costs you everything you got, get understanding. Yeah, come on. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare to it. I gotta sing, Tammy. I gotta sing. What would a sermon be like from Pastor Todd if he didn't sing? Come on. There was a song years ago when it's talking about God, and how many people know God is wisdom? God is wisdom. And we used to sing this all the time. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Oh, Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds. And nothing I desire compares with you. And nothing I desire compares with you. God, grant us your wisdom. Moving on. Keep moving with me, please. Lord, grant me wisdom and knowledge that I can lead this people. Now, this is very, very interesting because this was actually the prayer of Solomon that became the king of Israel. And he was a young man. He was the son of David. And his single prayer was, Lord, give me wisdom so I can lead the people. And if you read that verse, it goes on to say, God said to him, since you didn't ask for fame, since you didn't ask for riches, I will give it all to you. Wisdom, fame, influence, and riches. Pray for wisdom. Oh, the depth. This is Paul's great doxology that he declared in Romans. Oh, the depths of the riches, wisdom, and knowledge of God. How unsearchable is his ways. His paths are beyond tracing out. Moving on to the next one. Yeah, this is where we're going to finish with this one. And I thought it was very, very interesting. Psalm 1, 20 and 21. Sorry, Proverbs, thank you. Yeah, Peter, Jesus. Yeah, yeah, Proverbs, thank you, beautiful people. See, we need people in the room. That's the thing. We need people in the room. Proverbs 1, 20 and 21. Wisdom cries aloud in the streets, and in the markets she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out, what? At the entrance of the city gates. Now, you say, I've given youthfulness a hard time, but let me just say the perfect marriage is this. Fresh, youthful thinking, embraced by the wise, and wisdom honored by the young. Come on, how's that? How's that for a perfect marriage? I'm going to say it again. Fresh, youthful thinking, embraced by the wise, and wisdom honored by the young. Now that becomes the great message. That becomes the recipe of life. If I can have the worship team come back, that would be great. Let's continue to move on, please. And we're going to close with this. Heritage versus tradition. Want to just take a moment as we close with maybe something you've never thought before, but I just want to bring it to your attention. Oh, the difference between heritage and tradition. I want to spend a moment talking about the great, great difference, and that is this. Tradition is about remaining stuck. Heritage is about remaining faithful. Oh, somebody just go, oh, take that one in. That's good, yeah. That's really good. Tradition has given older a bad name. Tradition. It's a very traditional church. You know what that means? It's old and stuffy, right? It's a very traditional church. I don't want that, but I want a church that celebrates heritage and honor. and knowing the true and glorious ways, the great ways. Consider on how much foolishness could be circumvented if we knew the difference between heritage and tradition. Now, moving on. Traditionalism almost creates rebellion. What do you think the 1960s was all about? Fast forward to 2020. It's just a boomerang echo of the 70s. The 2020s is just a boomerang of the 70s. Rebelling against old and stuffy and traditionalism. The unwillingness to change because we've always done it that way. And trust me, there's very little about God and there's very little about wisdom when it comes to just the old traditional ways. Now, heritage, on the other hand, celebrates God's wisdom. Now, keep moving on, please. I want to talk today, finally, as we sing this song. Move to the next one, please. The ancient paths. And move to the slide, please. Yes. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. The NLT says the old godly ways. Ask where the good ways are and walk in them. See, there's the prayer. It's not why. It's how. What are your good ways, Lord? Reveal them to me and give me the grace to walk in them. And you will find rest for your soul. One author pens, the ancient days calls us back to the long established ways that do not change and remain the same yesterday, today, and forever. No one has ever improved on God's eternal word. Let me say that again. No one has ever improved on God's eternal word. Though millions and millions have tried. But there is no improving on God's eternal word. The ancient paths of the ancient truths of God. Please move to the next slide. The Evangelical Fellowship of Canada, their statement is the faith statement is virtually what all Christian churches in Canada adopt. Now, you want to talk about ancient paths. They are excerpts of the Nicene and Apostolic Creeds penned some 1700 years ago. Unchanging truth. Ancient paths. And we're going to finish today with "We Believe." And we're going to sing it and we're going to declare it. But we're going to echo and realize that these are the truths from God's word that have been categorized, that have been written, that have been drafted centuries and centuries and centuries ago. And we believe them today, and they are unchanging truths. Stand with me, church. I'm going to read them to you today. The Holy Scriptures, as originally given by God, are divinely inspired, infallible, entirely trustworthy, and constitute the only supreme authority of all matters of faith and conduct. Next one. There is one God, eternally existent in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Next one. Our Lord Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Next one, please. Stay with me, please, and do that. Next one. Keep going. You're doing a great job. You're doing a great job. Give it up for Jaden. Isn't he doing an awesome job? Our Lord Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. We affirm his virgin birth, sinless humanity, divine miracles, vicarious and atoning death, bodily resurrection, ascension, ongoing a mediatorial work. Well, that's a tough one. And personal return in power and glory. Next one. We believe. We believe. Go to the next one, please. Go to the next one, please. The salvation of lost and sinful humanity is possible only through the merits of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, received by faith apart from works, and is characterized by the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. Go to the next one, please. If there is one, yep. Salvation of lost and sinful humanity is possible only through, listen to me, I don't care what others say, this is truth. Salvation of lost and sinful humanity, please put it back, if you can. Only through the merits of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, received by faith apart from works, and is characterized by the regeneration by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enables us to live a holy life, to witness and to work for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's ancient paths of wisdom and truth. Oh, come on, somebody say amen. That's what we believe. We believe. We believe. Let's stay with the video if we can, just for this song, please. You can put the lyrics back up, please. For we believe. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. It was the third song. Let's sing it together. Oh, yeah. Yes, let's sing it, church. Yes. Come on, come on. We do believe, Lord. We believe this, Lord. Oh. Thank you, Lord. We believe. We believe. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Jesus, all over this place. Aren't you glad that there's an anchor, church? Aren't you glad that there's an anchor? Hallelujah! We trust you, Lord. We believe. Oh, we believe. Oh, we declare the truth. Yeah. Come on, come on. Yes. Given the Holy Spirit, He has given us new life. The crucifixion, we believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection. and he's coming back again. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. Yes, yes, come on. Yes, come on. Spirit, 'cause he's bringing us new life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Coming back again. Jesus, thank you for your matchless power. Lord, thank you for the ancient paths of your unchanging truth. Church, listen to me today. Listen to me today. Here and online, I've got good news. People need the truth. People want the truth. They see now more than ever before that this world is sinking sand. That there isn't the answers. There isn't the answers for life, for understanding, for wisdom, for how to live. It's in the book. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one will come to the Father. No one will go to heaven apart from me. That's truth. You can reject truth, but now you've heard truth. This is the Christian message. The Christian churches in this town declare this. The Christian churches in this town declare the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada statement of faith. It's in all of our literature. This is what we believe. Invite someone. Invite someone because they want truth. What's the Bible say? Knowing the truth, abiding in the truth, will set you free. Will set you free. Can you imagine? No more fear, no more terror, no more confusion. Set you free. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the ancient paths of truth that remain the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, Lord, that you are our anchor. And we trust you, not hanging on every word in the next news clip or the next news feed or the next online feed. That's not what we believe. We believe our God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God bless you. We love you. We love you. We adore you. And we are a loving sheep house that wants to see people loved and belong. Invite someone to watch us online. Invite someone to church. And God bless you. Have a fantastic day. Amen and amen. Amen.